Open your Bibles to 1 Samuel chapter 19. 1 Samuel 19. We have gotten to the point now in the history of Israel where Saul has already tried, as a matter of fact, to kill David a couple of times. It gets worse and it gets better and it gets worse and all those sorts of things. You know, I was thinking about this as I was preparing for this tonight. Usually when we think about David, we think about his victory over Goliath and we think about him being the king of Israel and, you know, all the victories that he had and how good it was. And sometimes we think about his sin with Bathsheba and what happened there. We seldom think about all of this time that David was on the run, away from family and friends, away from his home, away from the church, all those things. It must have been difficult for David. It was one of those times of distress and difficulty and sorrow, but it was one of those times when he was persistent in his faith and was faithful. We seldom think about that. Have you noticed we have a tendency to only think about what is good in other people's lives and what's bad in ours? I don't know why we do that, but it's good to remember that some of the great people of God in the Bible endured great suffering in addition to the great things that happened in their lives. Chapter 19, verse 1, Saul spake to Jonathan his son and to all his servants, Saul's servants, that they should kill David. Now, I don't know that Saul had particularly been trying to hide the fact that he wanted to kill David. He'd tried to do it twice out in fairly public circumstances. But I think this was news to Jonathan, at least. And it's kind of ironic that Saul would tell Jonathan that he wanted to kill David because Jonathan and David were great friends. And so, and Jonathan recognized that David probably would be the next king of Israel. So this is going to be a problem for Jonathan. Apparently, Saul didn't know right at this point about the friendship between Jonathan and David, or he probably wouldn't have said this to Jonathan. But Jonathan, Saul's sons, delighted much in David, and Jonathan told David, saying, Saul, my father seeketh to kill thee. Now therefore I pray thee, take heed to thyself until the morning, and abide in a secret place, and hide thyself. David probably thought, boy, that's not news to me. He's tried twice already. So it wasn't news to him. So Jonathan tells him to go to a secret place and hide. Now I want you to pay attention to the next verse. Jonathan tells David, go to a secret place and hide, and I will go out and stand beside my father in the field where thou art. Jonathan knew David's hiding place. I don't know if it was something they discussed and agreed upon, or if David told Jonathan this is where, but he knew. And later on, that's going to happen again. David is hiding, and Jonathan knows where he is. Anyway, verse 3 says, I'll bring my father out to the field where you're hiding, and I will commune, verse 3, I will commune with my father of thee, and what I see that I will tell thee. And Jonathan spake good of David unto Saul his father, and said unto him, let not the king sin against his servant, against David, because he hath not sinned against thee, and because his works have been to thee word very good. Jonathan reminded Saul that David had committed no sin. In particular, he had committed no sin against Saul. Part of what Saul had been telling the people that who were around when he wanted to kill David was, you know, David's my enemy. He's trying to take the throne or whatever it might be. And Jonathan reminds Saul that that really isn't the case. That David has behaved himself very well. He says, to thee word, he has acted very good. For he did put his life in his hand and slew the Philistine. And the Lord wrought a great salvation for all Israel. Thou sawest it and didst rejoice. Wherefore then wilt thou sin against innocent blood to slay David without a cause? I thought it was interesting in verse 5 that Saul rejoiced at the slaying of Goliath. I don't remember the Bible saying that specifically before. And I've read this passage before, and I'm sure you have too, but that I never noticed that before. Isn't it odd that, I don't know how much time has passed between the slaying of Goliath and now, several months probably at least. But Saul rejoiced at David's victory over Goliath until they came home. You remember what happened? The women came out singing and said, Saul has slain his thousands and David his 10,000s. And from that moment on, there was a problem. So Saul was obviously more concerned about himself than the people of Israel, because David was now Israel's champion. So he said, you saw it and you rejoiced. How can you now kill David without a cause? Verse 6, and Saul hearkened unto the voice of Jonathan, and Saul sware, as the Lord liveth, he shall not be slain. That is a very curious verse to me, only because we know what's going to happen. Saul's still going to try to kill David. So I don't know, verse 6, I don't know if Saul was genuine and was convinced by Jonathan, yeah, I probably shouldn't do this, so I've changed my mind and I don't want to kill him. Or if Saul saw that Jonathan favored David, maybe this was the time when he began to understand that they had a friendship, and maybe he was just telling Jonathan this so Jonathan would tell David, and David, he'd have access to David. I don't know. That may be sort of a skeptical mind thinking, but I wonder about that. And Jonathan called David, and Jonathan showed him all those things, and Jonathan brought David to Saul, and he was in his presence as in times past. So Jonathan goes to tell David, it's all right, Dad doesn't want to kill you anymore. He brings David back into Saul's presence, back into the palace. Seems like for a little while, everything is pretty good again. Verse 8, and there was war again, and David went out and fought with the Philistines and slew them with a great slaughter, and they fled from him. And the evil spirit from the Lord was upon Saul, and he sat in his house with his javelin in his hand, and David played with his hand. And Saul sought to smite David even to the wall with the javelin, but he slipped away out of Saul's presence, and he smote the javelin into the wall, and David fled and escaped that night. So, once again, there's war with the Philistines. Once again, David is victorious. Once again, the distressing spirit comes upon Saul. Once again, Saul tries to kill David. That's the third time with the javelin. Once again, God delivers David from Saul's hand. It is interesting that this time David only fled to his house, which I'm assuming is in the same city where Saul's palace is. So Saul tried to kill him again, and he escaped, but he just went home. You know, sometimes you think about these things, and they're pretty casual, it seems to me, like sometimes about life and death. If somebody tried to kill me, I would get out of town, but not David. Saul also sent messengers unto David's house to watch him and to slay him in the morning. And Michal, David's wife, told him, saying, if thou save not thy life tonight, tomorrow thou shalt be slain. It's interesting to me how all these people knew what Saul was thinking and what Saul was planning, and somehow they got the information and they told David. Now, we know it's the hand of God. But I don't know how Michal found out. I'm guessing maybe some of Saul's servants who loved David got word of what Saul was trying, sent these guys to stake out David's house, and when he came out in the morning, they were going to kill him. Probably some of his servants got word to Michal. Michal told David and told him he better get out of town that night or he would be killed in the morning. So Michal let David down through a window, and he went and fled and escaped. I want you to turn back real quickly to chapter 18, verse 21. Saul is talking about Michal. Matter of fact, look at verse 20 and 21. Sorry, Larry. And Michal, Saul's daughter, loved David, and they told Saul, and the thing pleased him. And Saul said, now listen to what Saul said. I will give him her that she may be a snare to him, and that the hand of the Philistines may be against him. And then you remember he came up with this dowry of 100 foreskins of the Philistines. Now we go over here to chapter 19 and verse 12. And Michal, who Saul intended to be a snare to David, is the source of his deliverance. She lets him escape. She warns him about the danger, and she lets him down through a window, which was probably on the exterior wall of the city, so that David could escape from the hand of Saul. What Saul intended for harm, God used for good. I'm reminded of Joseph when his brothers came to him and he said, what you intended for harm, God intended for good. And I'm reminded of Romans 8:28, where it says, all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to His purpose. We really don't need to worry about the circumstances of life if we're faithful to God. He will work all those things, even though they may be intended for evil for us. God will work them according to His will and work them for good for us if we'll be faithful to Him. Verse 13, and Michael took an image and laid it in the bed and put a pillow of goat's hair for a bolster and covered it with a cloth. The goat's hair was for his head. The bolster is the head. So she put this image in the bed, put the goat's hair at the top of it to make it look like hair, and covered it up, covered him up with a blanket or a sheet or something. The interesting thing in all this is this image they talk about in verse 13, this image is a household idol of all things. I don't know why it was in David's house. I have no idea. I think it's very possible that at this point, at least, Saul probably had some household idols in his home. Michael grew up in the home. It might have been normal for her, so when she got married, she brought it with her. I think that's a possibility. I don't know why David allowed it, but he did. And she used this household idol, this image, to put in the bed to make it look like David was in there. Verse 14. And when Saul sent messengers to David, she said, he is sick. Now, what she did, you can picture this in your mind. You know, think of some TV show, right? She opened the door, the messengers knocked on the door, and they said, we come for David. She said, well, look. She showed them, that's why she made the bed up to look like David was in there. She showed them the image covered up in the bed. Said, well, he can't get out of bed, he's sick. Well, the messengers didn't know what to do. Maybe they didn't know why they had been sent for David. Probably they did, but they were, at least these men, if they knew, were honorable enough not to kill him in his bed. So they're going to go back to Saul and tell him that he's sick, he can't get out of bed. Verse 15, and Saul sent the messengers again to see David, saying, bring him to me in the bed that I may slay him. If that is not an indication of the depravity and the corrupted state of Saul's mind, I don't know what is. Good. He's sick. He's incapacitated. He won't be able to dodge the javelin this time. Bring him to me in the bed that I can kill him in the bed. No honor at all for Saul. Not even honor we would consider of among ungodly men. Saul is driven now to see that David is killed. Verse 16, and when the messengers were come in, behold, they went back to the house. Behold, there was an image in the bed with a pillow of goat's hair for his bolster. So they uncovered the image, discovered what it was. And so they brought Michal to Saul. And Saul said unto Michal, why hast thou deceived me so and sent away mine enemy that he has escaped? And Michal answered Saul, he said unto me, let me go. Why should I kill thee? Couple of things in that verse. Again, you'll notice that Saul refers to David as my enemy. That's all he talks about. David's my enemy. He's my enemy. And then, of course, Michal lied. David did not threaten her with her life. This was her plan to get David out of there. But apparently she thought her life was in danger, so she lied. The only thing she could think of, I guess, to escape the wrath of Saul was to say, well, if he told me if I didn't let him escape, if I didn't help him escape, then he would kill me. Apparently it worked. Michal was still alive when we get later on down the road. I think that may indicate maybe the possibility of the household God and the lack of trust in God here with Michal. You know, she could have just told the truth and trusted God to take care of her. But between the household image and the apparent lack of trust of God in this verse, it makes me wonder about Michael's spiritual condition. Verse 18. So David fled and escaped and came to Saul to Ramah and told him all that Saul had done to him. And he and Samuel went and dwelt in Naoth. Naoth probably was some sort of a dwelling place, a dormitory, maybe a school or something where it was in Ramah, and Samuel and his disciples, the men that he was training, They stayed there, lived there, and that's where they had their training and things like that. That's what Naoth was, but it was in Ramah, somewhere in that city. Let's see, verse 19. And it was told Saul, saying, "Behold, David is at Naoth in Ramah." And Saul sent messengers to take David. And when they saw the company of the prophets prophesying, and Samuel standing as appointed over them, the Spirit of God was upon the messengers of Saul, and they also prophesied. Now, in this case where we're talking about prophesying, we're not talking about foretelling the future. Again, we're talking about praising God, worshiping God, those sorts of things. So Saul sent messengers, one group of messengers, and they were overcome, I guess we would say, by the Spirit of God, and began to worship and praise God with the men that were with Samuel. Verse 21, and when it was told Saul, he sent other messengers, and they prophesied likewise. And Saul sent messengers again the third time, and they prophesied also. Now, I have a question at the end of this verse. Three times Saul has sent messengers to where David is. So David knows that Saul knows that he's there. Why didn't he leave? Right? David knows Saul wants to kill him. He's tried personally three times. He sent men to his house now. He had to escape through the wall, all these sorts of things. And now David knows that Saul knows he's there, and Saul has sent men to get him three times. But he stayed. I don't know why that is. Maybe because Samuel was there. Maybe Samuel encouraged him to stay. I don't know. God protected him. I'm not faulting that at all. But I thought that was, again, curious. Again, he seems a little casual, I guess, about his situation. Then went he also to Ramah, that is Saul, went also to Ramah and came to a great well that is in Sikhu. Nobody knows for sure where this well is. Most people feel like it's probably just a few miles outside of the city of Ramah. And he asked and said, "Where are Samuel and David?" Which I think is an odd question, because he sent messengers three times to where David is. Maybe he thought, well, by now he's probably gone somewhere else. And one said, "Behold, they be at Naoth in Ramah." And he went thither, Saul went thither to Naoth in Ramah, and the Spirit of God was upon him also. And he went on and prophesied until he came to Naoth in Ramah. Prophecy again means the same thing, the worship and the praise of God. This is the last time that it's recorded in Scripture that the Spirit of God came upon Saul. And this time it was for the protection of David, not for the restoration of Saul. Verse 24, and he stripped off his clothes also, Saul, and prophesied before Samuel in like manner, and lay down naked all that day and all that night. Wherefore, they say, is Saul also among the prophets? Now, when he stripped off his clothes, it's talking about his armor and his royal garments, much like when Jonathan took his clothes and gave them to David. It was the royal garments and his armor. So these were the accoutrements of his being king. So under the influence of the Spirit of God, Saul removes his kingly garments. That's just signifying that God had withdrawn his hand from Saul, and that Saul was to no longer be the king over Israel. And then also you remember when Saul became the king. And he went to the prophets, he went to the school of the prophets, and the Spirit of God came over him, and he began to prophesy, and they asked the question, "Wherefore is Saul also among the prophets?" That was the beginning of his reign as king. This now is the end of his reign as king, essentially. He's going to be king for a little while longer. But it's the public signal that Saul is no longer the man that God has chosen to be king of Israel. All right, thank you for coming tonight. I appreciate it. If you'll stand, we'll be dismissed. Happy Mother's Day one more time. Happy birthday to all you mothers.